The Lord is our good shepherd who satisfies our need for rest and nourishment. This idea runs throughout the pages of Holy Scripture. For example, when Joshua led the Israelites across the Jordan River and into the Promised Land, abundance, victory, and rest was theirs for the taking. Also, Jesus had our spiritual rest in mind when he declared, "I am the Lord of the Sabbath." He also extended the following invitation, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest from what? In Christ, we rest from the weariness of religion and the anxiety produced by trying harder to please God. We rest in the green pastures and still waters of His grace, nourishing our soul on His holy word. I'm Ron Jones, and this is Something Good.
"Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's Matthew 11:28. And this is Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for spending part of your day here with us. We see a sentiment much like the one Jesus made in Matthew when we turn to Psalm 23, verse 2. "He makes me lie down in green pastures." King David is not talking only about rest, but about nourishment for the body as well as the soul. Ron takes us to this passage next as he continues his teaching series, Psalm 23 and Me, Living the Good Life with the Good Shepherd. Visit somethinggoodradio.org anytime to hear Ron's messages on demand. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Now with part two of his message, Rest and Refreshment for the Soul. Here's Dr. Ron Jones.
The shepherd must lead his sheep beside still waters. And to do that, the shepherd might take some rocks and build kind of like a dam at this part of the creek. And he dams up the water and creates this tranquil pond, you know, from which his sheep can hydrate themselves. Again, there are spiritual lessons here. There are analogies that we can make in the Christian life. All of this recalls the frequent references in the Bible to an important spiritual principle, and that is that our thirsty souls need living water. Let me say that again. Our thirsty souls, we need living water, just as our hungry souls need God's green pasture, and we need the bread of life, and we need the nourishment that we can get from God's word, and we need it daily. Likewise, our thirsty souls need living water. The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 55 and verse 1, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters." The prophet Jeremiah in chapter 17 and verse 3 says, "O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be put to shame. Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth, for they have forsaken," listen to this, "they have forsaken the fountain of living waters." For a time, I was that sheep that wandered away. You might have called me a prodigal son at that time. I came to faith in Christ in my junior high school, but wandered away from Him late in college and on into those early years. And certainly that time when I was in New York City, I had forsaken the fountain of living water and began drinking from other cisterns, thinking it would satisfy my soul. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." You go wandering into another green pasture, or that someplace that promises to be greener grass for you, or you try to create for yourself some other drinking source to satisfy your thirsty soul, and what you'll soon discover is, on the one hand, briars and thistles and thorns in that pasture. The grass is not any greener. And over here, well, a cistern that has holes in it, and water that doesn't satisfy the soul. Thirsty souls and living water were frequently on the lips of Jesus. I think of his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, where he says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." We established last week, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He satisfies every desire that I have. And Jesus perhaps had that in mind when he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, not for the cheap substitutes that the world has to offer, but hunger and thirst for righteousness, for the right things that God has to offer, for they will be satisfied. In John chapter 4, Jesus was speaking to a Samaritan woman at a watering well, of all places. And he said to her, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Oh, he had her attention then. She says, Rabbi, give me some of that water. And then later in John chapter 7, when Jesus was at a large feast in Jerusalem, he declared, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers, rivers of living water. You know what the normal Christian life looks like? Gushes and rivers of living water flowing into your soul and into your spirit and into your life experience, satisfying every desire that you have. John went on to say just a verse later that Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit here. The Holy Spirit can be described as a rush of living water. Is that your experience as a believer in Jesus Christ? Or even as one of the sheep of God's pasture, are you still wandering over here to some other watering hole that you think will satisfy you? It won't. And maybe like my experience in New York City, you just come to the end of yourself and you're still hungry and thirsty and you come back to living water. Let me change the analogy a little bit about the sheep and where they find their water source. A river, maybe a rushing river that the shepherd dams up a little bit and creates this tranquil pond might create one place where the sheep take a drink. But the morning dew on the grass is also another source of water for sheep. Of course, there's nothing that would threaten the sheep there. The droplets of water that hang on the vegetation are not rushing, so it's a calm place and a still place. But it does require, and it presupposes, that the shepherd gets up very early in the morning and leads his sheep out to that green pasture before the sun starts popping up over the horizon, or just as it is, before the temperatures rise, and before the dew evaporates from the green vegetation. Some of you are saying, it's been a long time since I was ever up that early and saw dew on the ground. I understand. But this is a source of hydration for the sheep. And the parallel, I will say, in the Christian life is obvious. Get up early in the morning if you want to catch God's dew. And great men and women of God often write about the significance of the early morning hours as the time when they drink from living waters by connecting to God and reading their Bible and praying. It's certainly a still water, isn't it? It's quiet at that time. I find the most refreshing time for me is to get up early, early in the morning. Doesn't make me more godly than anybody else. Part of it's my biological clock. And I get it. For those of you for whom the morning hours are hard, I'm married to somebody with an opposite biological clock. It makes our marriage very interesting. There are about 2 hours at the end of the day and 2 hours at the beginning of the day when we don't see each other. But I take advantage of that. It's about more than just biological clock there. If you want to catch God's morning dew, get up early. Retrain your biological clock. Did you know even Jesus practiced the discipline of an early, quiet time? Mark chapter 1 and verse 35 says of him, and rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed.
Still ahead, the second half of today's message with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Remember this web address, somethinggoodradio.org. That's the place to go to hear any of Ron's messages on demand. When you stop by, check out our digital library, where you can search for answers to some of life's toughest questions. Answers Ron has put together from his nearly 30 years of Bible teaching ministry. You can also stream on demand, absolutely free. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Here's something else for you. Ron would like to bless you with a great resource today, one that goes along with a series that aired earlier this year. It's called The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible, two beautifully designed editions that cover the Old and New Testament. And both volumes can be yours today as you invest in the media ministry of Something Good with a gift of $50 or more. That's volumes 1 and 2 of Ron's book, The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099. Or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456. Now let's get back to Ron as he shares the rest of today's Something Good radio message, Rest and Refreshment for the Soul.
Long before the disciples ever came, hey, you know, knocking on his door saying, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Long before the crowds ever got there and it got noisy and chaotic, he went to a quiet place to quiet his soul and to align his heart and his day to the Father. It's in those quiet places that we hear the still small voice of our good shepherd. And to do that, we have to practice stillness. We have to enter into those quiet places. Now, that's hard for us to do. Again, we live with this low-level noise that we've come to accept. Even if I were to stop and pause right now, it's not total silence. I can still hear the air conditioner and a few cell phones going off. Studies have shown that human beings are very disturbed by absolute stillness and quietness. They created a chamber where there's absolute stillness and quietness. And they said the longest anybody lasted in that chamber, are you ready for this, was 45 seconds before they became agitated. Our good shepherd wants to lead us beside those still waters. And sometimes the best time of the day for him to do that was to take his sheep out to the morning dew, where they would catch the droplets of water and hydrate themselves as those droplets were hanging from the vegetation. Nobody else was around. In your mind's eye, can you travel to that serene place with the shepherd on the hillside with his sheep in the morning hours? You see the sun just peeking up over the horizon. To hear the still small voice of your shepherd who speaks to his sheep. Remember Jesus said, "And my sheep hear my voice." You got to find those still places. You got to be willing to go to those quiet places. But something like that is foreign to most of us who are seemingly in constant motion. We live in Grand Central Station. And it takes something away from that sense of rest and that opportunity for refreshment and replenishment in our souls. If you're not careful, you live in a state of a chaotic soul. And you think that's normal, and it's not. He makes us lie down in green pastures. Sometimes he has to gently force us into some discipline for a season. And for me, I've found coming back to those quiet times, forced or not, I realize what I'm missing and what's been missing in my rhythms and my disciplines. And it makes me long for those quiet places again, even to pray before I go to bed. Lord, wake me in the early morning hours with thoughts towards you. Don't let anything distract me from going out to experience and hydrate myself with your morning dew. You see, our good shepherd knows what we need. We need rest. We need replenishment. We need refreshment for our soul. We spend hours and no telling how much money in gyms and places where we work on our physical body, but we neglect our spirit. We neglect our spiritual side and our souls to our own harm. And you don't have to live in New York City or some other bustling metropolis to lack rest and refreshment. You can live at the beach, a presumably calming place, and still not have rest in your soul. Partly because you thought the grass was greener in another pasture, and you're still eating the vegetation of the world. And you've gotten to this point where you think that thistles and thorns and briars, that's normal. No, it's not. Or you're drinking from other cistern, one that you created for yourself, and you just keep imbibing and drinking from that, thinking that it will satisfy your soul, but it won't. Spiritual fatigue and dehydration can happen anywhere. So wherever you are, find rest in Jesus. For some of you, it may be a day of salvation where you respond to his invitation who says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest from religion. Rest from the weariness of trying harder to please God. Rest in my grace and in my provision for you through the cross and through my resurrection. And then lie down in the green grass of his grace and learn to chew daily on his holy word. Chew the cud. Take some time. Don't rush it. Chew it and then chew it again. Learn the fine art of not just reading God's word and maybe studying it, but memorizing it and meditating upon it until you extract every spiritual nutrient that is there. Drink daily from him. He's living water. And I believe that when we get back to these practices, these disciplines we call them in the Christian life, when we allow our shepherd to show us where the green pastures are, to make us lie down on occasion, and to lead us to these still, tranquil, serene waters to hydrate our soul, we'll walk away saying, just how good a shepherd he is. And we'll get a little taste of the good life that the good shepherd wants from us. And the contrast between what the shepherd in wolf's clothing, or the wolf in shepherd's clothing, rather, wants for us, the contrast between the two will burn a memory in our soul, such that any time we drift away from those green pastures, or we become spiritually dehydrated in any way, we're quickly back to where the shepherd wants us and where he's leading us. But if we're not careful, we get out of rhythm. We get out of step. We're spending too much time in these other pastures thinking they're greener, or we're drinking from other cisterns, and we begin to train our soul to think this is normal, and it's not. The normal Christian life is gushes of living water, empowered by the Holy Spirit, satisfaction of our hunger and thirst through a desire for righteousness that is far beyond what most of us have ever dreamed of or thought was even possible or ever experienced. But when you get a little taste of it, a little taste of it. I remember early on in my walk with the Lord, and early on even in my adulthood as I came back to him, that hunger and that thirst for time with God was so great. And I spent a lot of years as a single adult. Didn't get married till I was 31. A lot of alone time. And maybe that was part of God's training ground to teach me to go to those still, quiet places alone with him. Because life and ministry would get pretty noisy and pretty chaotic at some point. And he burned into my memory what it was like to be with my shepherd in those green pastures and beside those still waters. And anytime I stray far from that, I feel it. I feel the spiritual hunger. I need to get back to a green pasture. I feel the spiritual hydration or dehydration. And I got to get back to drinking from living water. Do that in the early morning hours. Try it out. Try it out. Your good shepherd will meet you there. And before long, you'll beat him to that place. And say, come on, come on. Now, he's never catching up to us, but you know the idea. You will long for that more than any other broken cistern or pseudo-green pasture that this world has to offer. Our good shepherd knows what we need, and he knows how to deliver it, when to deliver it, and he's inviting us into those times. He's calling his sheep, the sheep of his pasture, to come. Sit down, lie down. I'll nourish your soul. Come on over here, drink from me. Rivers of living water, and be satisfied in me.
Thanks so much for being with us for today's Something Good radio message, Rest and Refreshment for the Soul. And Dr. Ron Jones joins me in the studio now. Ron, I think for many of us, if we're not careful, having a daily devotion can become just another item on our to-do list, as if we're making the bed or picking up our dry cleaning. What are some things we can do to help avoid this mindset?
That's a great question, Brian. Let me start with this. It's true that the Bible is the greatest piece of literature in human history. It's not even close by comparison to any other piece of literature. But even so, Brian, here's the thing. The Bible is as much a person as it is a book. So I think it would be helpful, and this absolutely helps me, to not think of our devotional as a time of reading, meditation, and prayer, but rather spending time with our Heavenly Father, getting to know Him better, talking to Him, listening to Him, becoming more intimate with Him. If you love Him, that's not a chore. It's a pleasure. It's a get-to, not a got-to. Now, let's think about this in practical terms. No one would put on his to-do list, spend time with my wife today, or talk to my wife at noon.
Not if they expect to live.
Yeah, see, you know exactly what I mean, Brian. So it's important to have the right mindset on the front end. This is a relationship, not a ritual. And unlike so many other things in our lives, our jobs, the work we have to do around the house, family responsibilities, maybe church involvement, and a host of other things, our time with God is a time of nourishment and rest, and also a time when we get re-energized. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and nothing infuses joy into our spirits, or our bodies for that matter, quite like spending time with the giver of joy himself. One more quick thing, and I'll stop in the interest of time. For me, early mornings give me the chance to turn the whole day over to God. That's when I can give him my best energy. But even if you're not a morning person, at the very least, I'd encourage you to acknowledge God first thing and ask him what he wants to do through you today. Not only will that help you start the day on more solid footing, but it just might make your day seem a little less hectic, a little less draining.
That's Dr. Ron Jones with some final thoughts on the nourishment God gives to our souls as we spend time with him. Well, as usual, Ron, the clock is winding down. So tell us what's coming our way tomorrow as you continue your teaching series, Psalm 23 and Me, Living the Good Life with the Good Shepherd.
Well, Brian, we don't like to talk about this very much, but all of us, and I mean every last one of us, in the flesh, we are prone to wander away from God. Isaiah 53 says it this way, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." It's sad and beautiful at the same time. Psalm 23, at the beginning of verse 3, King David says, "He restores my soul." Well, the reason we would need restoration in our souls is because sometimes we wander. We sometimes lose our way. So the next time, I'd like to offer a message of hope to anyone out there who is wandering right now. I think it will be of some benefit because it will redirect you to the source of all comfort and healing.
The message is called Hope for Cast Down Sheep. And Dr. Ron Jones shares it with us next time. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying God bless and thanks for listening.